Good afternoon. This afternoon, I would like for us to examine in a little bit more depth than we have looked at in times past, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Recently, I was able to discuss with some young people, as I occasionally do, about how that they were wanting to get married. And I have not yet been able to encounter a couple and talk them out of such an arrangement, and therefore they were determined to go on with the act. Well, concerning marriage itself, there are some interesting things said here in 1 Corinthians 7 from our beloved Apostle Paul. And he, speaking by the inspiration of God, begins in verse 1 to say, "Concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Therefore, we see in these first two verses that there is a definite purpose in marriage, that among other things that you may read about in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, we find here that there is the purpose of avoiding fornication. God intended for all of us to live in such a way that we are not either exposed to or fall to the temptation to go into immorality and a sexual nature. Therefore, God created the establishment of marriage in order that we might serve Him acceptably in this way. Serving God in marriage means that we help our mate to get through life, and as we do so, we also have an environment wherein we can raise children, and there are all kinds of good benefits, so He created the home. In verse 3, He pointed out, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." These verses indicate that there is a romantic involvement that is naturally involved in marriage, and that the married couple are expected to be close to one another. That a lack of closeness is an opportunity for the devil to tempt us. However, since marriage is designed in its purpose to avoid fornication, therefore we should take marriage as an opportunity to express ourselves romantically unto our mate and not to deny. At the same time, he indicates that there may be special times of religious observance. During these occasions, you may give yourselves to prayer and fasting. Now, I don't know of many people nowadays that practice fasting, but perhaps we should use this passage in verse 5 to consider that more often. He says that there are some times of special religious considerance, that is, times in which we are especially stressed by a question from the Bible, or stressed in wondering what is right and what is wrong for us to do in life, and we are busy searching the Scriptures and praying unto God about it, and considering what is the wisest course of action. During such a time, you must have open communication with your mate in marriage, and let them know that you're going through this difficult time, that you might either pray about it together, or at least consent that you will for a while be apart while you consider this difficult question. Sometimes we are not so much faced with a religious crisis or a question in our life as we are faced with many kinds of worries that keep us from focusing upon our husbands or wives. This can develop into sin and is an opportunity for the devil to tempt us. The first five verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 are intended for us to go against that temptation and show us how that we might have happy marriages. Beginning in verse 6, Paul says, "I speak this by permission and not of commandment." What Paul is indicating is that the Lord had not spoken already on some of these particular matters, but that he is speaking this according to God's will. He goes on to say in verse 7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself." What he means here is that Paul lived the life of a single man, but he is about to give a divine option. God is not going to say you have to do it this way or you have to do things that way, but he is going to say you may decide at certain times in your life that it's good to get married and you haven't sinned if you do so. On the other hand, you may decide that it's best to stay single. If that's the case, then you may do that as well. That's why he puts it the way he does here. It's a divine option. "Every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that." Each one having their own gift from God, you understand, after we have read verse 7 here, means that some are what we would call today the marrying kind, and others are not. "I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows," in verse 8, "it is good for them if they abide even as I." Once again, Paul was a single man, so it means that it's good if they want to stay single. "But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn, verse 9. Certainly, this is appropriate language with respect to us wanting to live godly lives and remain in God's good graces, no matter whether we're single or married. Verse 10. In 1 Corinthians 7:10, it goes with verse 11 to explain to us God's general law concerning marriage. Unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Verses 10 and 11 clearly show us that God has an established law of marriage, which he is saying that the Lord has spoken of. Unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. It means that Paul has a hand in this, but only because he is the one presently penning the words. Jesus had already spoken concerning God's will in marriage in Matthew 19 in verses 4 through 6. Let not what God hath put together, let not man put asunder. In these verses in Matthew 19, Paul is reiterating them here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says in verse 11, But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. Sometimes people go through periods of separation. They are arguing with one another, and they are not getting along with one another. This is a regrettable situation, and Paul says it may even reach the point where the two are separated or divorced. He says that you need to get back together with your husband or with your wife, or you can simply remain unmarried. Now this, once again, is God's general law concerning marriage and divorce. There is a special law that God gave for marriage, divorce, and remarriage in Matthew 19 and verse 9, and indicated that the exception there is when your mate has gone out on you. In the case of an adulterous mate, then you may decide to put them away for that adultery and get yourself a different mate. As you read here in 1 Corinthians 7, after giving the general law concerning marriage and divorce and reconciliation under your first spouse, then we start in verse 12, where it says, But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away, that is, don't leave her. When he says, To the rest speak I, evidently he means that they had some other questions as well. They were asking him about various things in the book of 1 Corinthians, and he had started out by answering some of those questions in verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. You see, they had all kinds of questions. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, in saying this, we do not mean that Paul is changing subject so much as he is changing simply the question that was asked of him. Therefore, we get down now to a section here in verse 12, where he says, To the rest of these, we understand that to mean to the rest of these questions, I speak, not the Lord. What he means is the Lord did not have specific instruction with respect to these things during his ministry. And yet there are some things that Paul knows that they need to hear about. Therefore, God inspired him to say some words. If any brother has a wife that does not believe, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. This shows us that marriages inside and outside the church, mixed religious marriages, are recognized by God. And the woman which has a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. It works both ways, whether you're talking about it from the perspective of the wife or the perspective of the husband. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. This indicates that there are in these mixed marriages sometimes some troubles. The troubles are, of course, alleviated and made better by the fact that you have at least one of those parties who is a Christian. However, when the other person is not a Christian, there may be a case where there is an abusive situation. And the situation is as a result of the person who's not a Christian demanding that you live a life which is unchristian as well, or that you live a life where you give up some principle of Christianity. No, I will not put up with you being a Christian and being my wife, and I'm tired of this, and you'll do good and well what I tell you, and so on and so forth. And there may even be other kinds of abusive situations involved there. Well, in those cases, what do you do? Well, in certain situations, you can call the law on them. In other situations, it may be a case where they're not willing to put up with you being a Christian, and they just leave you. Well, do you follow after them, and do you say, well, no, I'll give in on whatever you want me to do? No, Paul says you just let them go. Let them depart, because you are called, first of all, to belong to God. and not to any person upon this earth. Now, I'm going to have to stop right here for the reason of time. I hope in the future for us to study some more on some other parts of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The general meaning is that God has designed marriage as a beautiful relationship wherein we complete one another and that hopefully we're on the same track toward heaven and we help each other get there. I encourage you to give some further study to this important passage for us to look at, study it in conjunction with Matthew chapter 19, and if you have any questions at all, we'd be happy to answer them from the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. For the Mount Gilead Church, I'm Tim McHenry.